Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hi, folks. I'm Jelaine Fenner, and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. I'm your host with my co-host,
Tom Mischer.
And Tom, it is Memorial Day weekend. Most people will hear this either Sunday or Monday. Some will hear it on Tuesday after the holiday. But we're going to be talking about the meaning of Memorial Day, and we have interviewed a couple of people that were in the service that are going to share their thoughts and things with, that they think about Memorial Day or what happened in their life being in the service. You know, we've talked about Memorial Day. It's about veterans, but we have Veterans Day in November, which there's a difference because Memorial Day is about those that didn't come back, those men and women that passed away. But I have a question for you, Tom.
Yes.
When you were growing up, what did you know, do you remember much about Memorial Day, or what did you do on that day?
You know, Jelaine, my earliest memories is going to the gravesite of my grandfather. And every year we would go, we lived in Lansing, we'd go down to Kalamazoo and to this cemetery, and we would put flowers on the grave. So it was called Decoration Day.
Right. Well, I can remember hearing people call it saying Decoration Day. Now, was your grandfather in the service or not?
No, he wasn't.
Okay. But that's what we're going to talk about, Memorial Day, you know. And when I grew up, it was a celebration. I mean, it was a holiday.
It was a day off.
Yes. There was always a parade. And I know it had something to do about military, but I never knew that a whole lot. And, you know, I understand. Well, we're going to talk about it. Why don't you have a word of prayer first?
Absolutely. Our great Heavenly Father, we're coming here to remember and to honor those who have served and protected our freedoms.
Amen.
And so, dear Lord, let us give the proper honor and respect due not only to those who have died, but to those who survived as the families who have lost loved ones. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So, Tom, what's the real meaning behind Memorial Day?
The real meaning of Memorial Day, it was actually kind of a reaction to the Civil War. That was a terrible war. The Civil War, do you know how many people died in the Civil War, Jelaine?
Well, I looked some information up. I could not believe it. And I've always heard, though, and I'm a history buff, but I don't know a lot about Civil War, but I've always heard more people died in that war than any other war.
That's right. More than in World War I, World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War combined, 600,000+, mm-hmm. at least 618. That was 2% of the United States population during that particular era.
It's a lot of people.
And it touched everybody. There was family members, multiple family members. So there was a groundswell of response. There was at least 26 different places claimed to have had the first memorial service, and all of that around or near 1865 or 1866. But the national celebration was 3 years later. It was led by the Union veterans, the Grand Army of the Republic, and General Logan seemed to be very, very involved in that. Major General John A. Logan, he established a day, and it was not called Memorial Day.
Right.
It was called Decoration Day at that time. And they chose that time because they believed that at that time, flowers were blooming across the whole country. And they could bring joy, and they could be laid, these flowers, at the graveside. One of the first ceremonies later that year in 1866 was at Arlington National Cemetery. It's very interesting. That was actually on the estate of General Robert E. Lee estate. And
just so everybody knows, if they don't know their history, Robert E. Lee was not a Union soldier.
He was not. He was the leader of the Confederate armies.
Yes.
Yes, the commander. And so General Logan, which we mentioned earlier, wrote this particular piece that I think is so poignant even today, mm-hmm. eloquently written as they did many times in those days. So General Logan ordered from his post to decorate graves in 1868 with, quote, "with the choicest flowers of springtime," urged, "we should guard their graves with sacred vigilance. Let present paths invite the coming and going of reverent visitors and fond mourners. Let no neglect, no ravages of time, testify to the present or to the coming generations that we have forgotten as a people the cost to a free an undivided republic." What a beautiful statement.
That's right. And that's why, I mean, decoration, because they would go put flowers on the graves of those that had fallen, that served the country. And then, but what he talks about is reverent visitors, you know, and the mourners. I mean, without this military service, what kind of country would we have, you know, this freedom we have?
In a sinful world, a might makes right. People will overrun you unless there's a strong and vigilant military.
And I thought it was interesting because we did a little research, you know, about this more. And one of the earliest Memorial Day celebrations was held by free slaves.
I love that.
I know. And it says that it was held within less than a month after the Confederacy had surrendered in 1865. But it took a long time for it to become like a holiday. And I guess that's where I was thinking, a lot of people, that's Memorial Day. It is. It's a holiday. You know, it's a, because it ended up being the fourth Monday of May. And we'll talk a little bit more about that maybe. It's all about honoring, not celebrating. You know, this, which is what I kind of grew up with, celebration.
Just another three-day weekend.
Well, and it does start the summer holidays. I mean, that's what we think about, the summer season, because it goes through Memorial Day through Labor Day. That's the summer, at least, especially up here in the north.
That's right. And that's why he said that chose that because of the flowers will be blooming all over the country and even in Michigan.
That's right, yeah.
But, you know, it's just interesting. It was a total groundswell that, you know, some celebrations take a period. We've talked about Mother's Day and Father's Day. We've done research on that. Some of these celebrations came along very quickly and naturally, and some of them took years and years. But this Decoration Day seemed to flourish almost immediately. There are at least 25 places across the United States that claim to have had the very first Decoration Day. And all the way from Macon, Georgia, Columbus, Georgia, Carbondale, Illinois, where General Logan was connected with that one too.
Well, it wasn't though until 1971, Memorial Day became a national holiday by an act of Congress. They picked the fourth Monday of May, but like we've talked about, May, all across the country, it's springtime and the flowers are blooming. And I have another question.
Sure.
The poppy became a symbol, and especially you see it at Memorial Day, sometimes on Veterans Day, because this is about veterans, about people that have served, you know, men and women that have served in the service for Memorial Day or even in Veterans Day. Do you have any idea why the poppy?
You know, I read that article and I forgot the answer to that question.
It has something to do with, in Europe, the
Flanagan's Field.
Yeah, that's right. See, in fact, we have that poem, and I don't know if we want to take the time to read it, but it's interesting. So, folks, you should maybe go online, look up Flanders Fields.
Flanders Field.
There. Yes, there was a poem from May 1915, and it has to do, because the war was going on.
Read a couple lines of that poem, if you don't mind.
Okay. "In Flanders Fields the poppies blow between the crosses row on row that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are dead short days ago. We lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Fields." And there's another verse, but it's about, and this World War I was going on. And the people there, over there in Europe, they were dying. And there was this poppy field. And so it's just amazing. And then, though, it became even more famous, and it was with Moina Michel. She wrote a poem, We Shall Keep the Faith, because of that poem from John McCrae. He wrote The Flanders Field. Well, in November of 1918, she was an American professor, and she wrote this poem. And she became the poppy lady because she really posted, she really talked about having poppies, the red poppy, to honor the dead. So that's quite interesting. And I don't know how many, I never knew that.
I didn't either.
You know, they sell the, well, they sell them, I guess, for donation to help the veterans. But, I mean, have you ever gotten a poppy? You know, you see them around and you give them money and they give you a poppy and you wear it that day, yeah.
Did you know that there's also a national moment of remembrance?
No, I didn't. That's another thing I learned. I love history and I learned a lot looking up about Memorial Day.
Isn't that a blessing? We get to do this research and then we get to tell everybody about it?
Yeah, because I wonder, listeners, how many of you know that there is a national moment on Memorial Day that we're supposed to honor, and it's a certain time. Tell us about it, Tom.
Well, first of all, in December of 2000, the U.S. Congress passed an act, and was signed by the president, the National Moment of Remembrance Act. And so at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we're supposed to take a moment of silence at local time to remember those who have given their all for us.
So at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I never knew that. Did you know that?
I had kind of heard it a couple times. You know, it slipped from the memory.
Well, what I think about, I know here in the Cadillac, Michigan area, they always would have a Memorial Day parade, and the veterans would come out, you know, and it was, I mean, it was kind of a fun parade, but it wasn't your typical parade where you'll throw out candy and all this. It was all about the veterans. And then they would have a service after, and the parade's in the morning.
So do you have veterans going down the street?
Right, and carrying the flag, yeah. But they would have a service at the end where they have the 21-gun salute. And they play the taps, and there is silence, you know, because you're supposed to remember these. It wasn't at 3 p.m., so I don't know. That'd be interesting to find out how many in our listening audience in your area does anybody observe this 3 p.m. moment of silence?
Well, we're having this broadcast twice, and maybe people will start that tradition this year.
Yeah, I'm just amazed at what we're learning about Memorial Day.
You know, Jelaine, a couple of remembrances of Memorial Day come to mind. When I was living in Grand Rapids, not that many years ago, I was invited to a Memorial Day service in a rural cemetery, and community people, an honor guard, there was a speaker set up, and actually our pastor Rocker had the address at that particular time, and I think that was a very memorable Memorial Day to me, and I'm glad that I did it. There was one other experience that I had. I saw it in the paper on Memorial Day. It was nearby. I was in Walker, Michigan, and just a mile away in a cemetery there was a remembrance, and it was an Eagle Scout had done a study on one of the veterans and gave honor and the history of that. And that was another memorable day. That is the way I think that Memorial Day should be done. We need to take the time out of our schedule to remember our veterans. And you know, Jelaine, I'm going to make a commitment right here that here in Cadillac, I'm going to check out that ceremony this year.
But just talking about this, listeners, wherever you're at, we all can remember at 3 o'clock, Monday, Memorial Day, take a moment of silence to think about the men and women that gave their lives for us to have freedom. It's about that, to remember them, to honor them, and have respect for. They gave their all, like Jesus gave his all for us, so we can have, you know, eternity in heaven with him.
Thank you for bringing the spiritual dimension into
that. Yeah, it's just, I mean, when you really think about that, you know, and the Bible tells us, Jesus said, no greater love has someone than they lay down their life for someone else.
And he died it for us when we were yet sinners.
That's right.
People that actually rejected him, he's going to the cross and he's dying for us. That's the ultimate love.
Right. So, you know, Memorial Day for Christians should be even more than just having this respect and honor and thinking about those that have died to give us freedom in our country. But ultimate freedom is going to be Jesus.
Amen.
What he's done so that we can spend eternity with him. And folks, if you see the signs of times, I think it's sooner than later. He's
coming back. Amen.
The other thing about Memorial Day, though, it's families get together. And like you said, your family, you'd go visit the cemetery and, you know, put the flowers. And it wasn't always just on the people's graves that have died for our country. It's just remembering your loved ones that have passed away.
Yes.
And then always have a picnic or have, you know, you get together and you are kind of celebrating. That's the thing, what I've learned this year about Memorial Day. It's not just about it's a holiday and celebrate a day off and have fun. It's to honor those that have passed away.
Absolutely. You know, it makes me even think about Thanksgiving as on Thanksgiving Day, and this is a little bit off the topic, but I've gone to ceremonies on Thursday morning on the Thanksgiving service, and truly, it's good to have all the families and all the other things that are a blessing, but it's important that the day that is set aside, that is actually, we take forth some effort and remember why that day is, whether it be Christmas or other Thanksgiving. We need to make sure that the reason for the season is covered.
That's right.
You know, Jelaine, it's interesting that Memorial Days, I think throughout history there has been Memorial Days. It says that in antiquity, that in Athenia, the leader offered a tribute to the foreign heroes of the war of that particular time. But also, that was 24 centuries ago, but we have to also keep in mind that 1.1 million Americans have died in American wars.
That's amazing. Yeah. You know, and more than half of them was the Civil War. We've just, you know, we talked about why it started. I mean, yeah.
And the other thing to keep in mind is we're looking for a time in the near future when there will be no more wars.
Amen. That's right. Jesus is coming soon. And he can't come soon enough, can he, Tom?
That's right. That's right.
Well, folks, we hope you've learned a lot, because Tom and I did some research and we did learn a lot about Memorial Day. Just pray that you are with family and that you're thinking about those that have died to give us freedom in this country. It's without them, where would our country be? We're not 100% sure. Just pray that you have an enjoyable holiday, Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, we'd love to hear from you. You could let us know what you normally do. You could just go to our website, strongtoweradio.org, and we have a place where you can send us a message. And we'd love to know that, because Tom and I can talk about it again at another time, what our listeners do for Memorial Day.
Amen.
Well, stay tuned, because we'll be right back. We have two interviews coming up with men that have served time in the service and their thoughts and what they think and have done regarding Memorial Day. We'll be right back.
The Bible and God's character are under attack like never before. Here at Strong Tower Radio, we are proud to hold up the Bible as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We believe the Bible is the Word of God and contains the good news of God's character and His great plan of salvation for mankind. If you know and believe this to be true, won't you help Strong Tower Radio proclaim the truth about our God and His Word, the Bible? To do that, go to www.strongtowerradio.org, and there, on our secure website, you will find a donate button. Click on that and give as the Lord directs. Thank you for listening and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Hi, folks. Welcome back to Strong Tower Radio today. I'm your host, Jelaine Fenner, with my co-host,
Tom Majeur.
And Tom, we have on the phone with us now, Pastor Daryl Bentley. And listeners, if you've been listening to Strong Tower Radio, you have heard Pastor Bentley.
That's right.
Welcome, Daryl.
Thank you so much. It is a true pleasure and honor to be able to be with you guys today. Thank you for the invitation.
Now, we're talking about Memorial Day in this program. But, you know, one of the introductions I really got to you, Pastor Bentley, is with your radio spots. And that radio spot was your Memorial Day spots. And you are so passionate about Memorial Day that I just we felt that we had to bring you back for this particular program.
Well, I really appreciate that. And you're right. Having served, Memorial Day is a special time because you think about those who have given their lives for the cost of freedom and, to defend what I consider our great nation.
Amen.
So it is definitely something that's tender on my heart every year.
Is it also personal because of maybe your personal experience with some of your fellow comrades in the military?
It actually is. Being my position when I was in the Army was in E4, which was a specialist rank, and I served as a chaplain assistant. And my job was to be basically the administrative bodyguard for the chaplain when we weren't under any kind of attack or threat. You're basically the glorified deacon and administrative assistant for the chaplain. And of course, when there is some sort of active threat, you make sure that the chaplain is protected, get them to safety. They're considered a high value target. And so chaplain teams are always at battalion level or higher. And so we had a lot of, different companies of soldiers that were underneath us, different units assembled from all over the U.S. And so we didn't have a lot of losses, praise the Lord. There was only one loss in our particular battalion, and it actually occurred after we had left. And so it is significant, and there's even a little story behind that loss that I could share with you if you had time or wanted to hear it.
Well, I would love to hear it. Let me ask you this question. Were you in active service?
I was. I was actually U.S. Army Reserve, and we were activated. I was what they call cross-leveled to another unit that did not have a chaplain assistant. And so at that time, their protocol was to fill all their empty slots in their particular headquarters or whatever from soldiers and other units. And so I ended up going with a different unit out of Macon, Georgia, and was on active duty for 12 months in Iraq.
Oh.
Where we were deployed in the northern city of Mosul.
I remember that name.
Mosul is basically modern-day Nineveh.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's exciting to think about that at the moment, kind of.
Was there armed action and such?
Or? There was. Our particular unit was combat service and support, so we ran logistic patrols from Mosul up to the Turkish border, bringing in convoys of trucks, supplies into the country for both us and, civilians and Iraqi army. But we came under attack on a regular basis at our base, small arms fire on our convoys, IEDs, were a very real and, ongoing threat. It was something that we had to look out for all the time. And our vehicles were hit and our guys were shook up. But again, the only loss I had was the one I mentioned earlier, praise the Lord.
So what branch of the service were you in, and what was the time frame?
I was in the Army 2.5 years, and from 2005 to 2007, I was honorably discharged in 07. I actually applied for early release from the military because I felt the Lord compelling me to go into pastoral ministry. I had been a ministerial student at Southern. But one of those things where, I knew I was called to ministry, but not exactly sure where the Lord wanted me to serve. And I'd always wanted to serve our country. I'd always wanted to be in the military. So I thought maybe military chaplaincy would be the route that the Lord was taking me. So I went in as a chaplain assistant to kind of test the waters and see if that's what the Lord was calling me to do. Came back from my training, summer of 05, found out the fall of 05, that I was going to be called up to be deployed the following year, and ended up going to Iraq in June of 06.
So what were you? You were a student then, and were you working before?
I was. I went back to Southern Adventist University at the age of 29. Since that the Lord was calling me to ministry, that was affirmed through my local pastor, conference ministerial folks in Carolina. And so went back to school. And it was between I actually went to basic training for the Army between my sophomore and junior years.
And you were married at this time with children?
That's correct. A wife and three kids. And we had been married about 10 years We had our 10-year anniversary, while we were at Southern. So, yeah, it was definitely a complex journey, going back to school with a family, being in the military, being deployed, wife and kids back home. So it was some time apart that was very difficult.
So let me ask you this, being a wife and mother, how did your wife handle this?
Well, fortunately, I'm blessed with just a wonderful wife who is just a trooper. She's, very dedicated, very devout Adventist Christian, very devout mother. And so I moved her and the kids back to North Carolina from Southern. And she basically just had a real good connection with the local church, the Hickory, Adventist Church. And her parents were about 20 minutes away. My parents, my mom and grandmother, were 20 minutes the other way. So she had good family support, but, a lot of prayer, a lot of tears too. No question. It's people think about the soldiers and the hardships of deployment, but many times the forgotten warriors of the home front, the wives and husbands left behind taking care of the families and maintaining the household. Deployments are very difficult on them, but the Lord got us through it.
Yeah, I understand from this aspect, my wife's best childhood friend, her husband went into the military after they've been married for a period of time. And so I've seen that side of those who have been left behind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got a question for you. How did your military experience, what were the lessons you learned? And we'd love to hear the spiritual side, too.
For sure. Obviously, military is really good at helping you learn lessons of leadership, how to really just hang in there, perseverance, not give up, completion, discipline, all those good things. But really, for me, the greater lessons were just learning to depend on the Lord. When you're, thousands of miles away from your family, hours ahead or hours behind, whatever the case may be, you just really have to trust the Lord to get you through those situations. And honestly, my biggest fear while I was deployed was not worrying about us coming under mortar attack, coming under small arms fire, those sort of things. It was just, will I get to see my family again? And, just a lot of prayer. Lord, give me strength, give me peace, help me to just do what I need to do and, get back home. But, one of the bigger lessons too was just trusting how God's going to use you. As being a, dedicated Adventist Christian with a call to ministry on my life, I also wanted to touch hearts, right? And so it was a situation where I just had to pray and say, Lord, let me be a blessing to someone every day while I was deployed. And it was amazing, the interactions that the Lord allowed me to have with other soldiers, different Bible studies. Even though I wasn't the chaplain, a lot of the soldiers found out that I was preparing for ministry. And as I became friends with them, they would often come to me for counseling. And my chaplain was really cool about that because typically that's a no-no, right? Chaplain assistant doesn't do any counseling, pastoral type counseling or whatever. But he and I had a very good working relationship. I did not try to steer people away from him, but just those natural bonds of, living, serving with other soldiers, you get those opportunities to just pray with them, to encourage them, help them work through life issues. And so it was just really an incredible experience.
So, a lot of people realize Memorial Day, when what you said, it's about for those that have served, but they've, died for our country.
That's right.
And then, but you're all veterans. Once you're in the military, you're a veteran. And
that's right.
So it's wonderful. I love talking to people that have been in the military. They have such respect for our country, and because they have you have a different outlook on life.
Different experience.
Yeah, well, you're willing, what the Bible says, willing to give up your life for a friend. And when you're doing it for our country, you might be doing it for your family, but you're doing it for everybody here in the United States.
for sure. There's definitely, you know, that element. And some people would say, you know, it's kind of sappy or cheesy or whatever. But honestly, that was really one of my driving motivations. You know, I wanted to serve our country. I had wanted to serve our country since I was a child. Wanted to be in the military ever since I was a little boy. You know, just there's something unique about being a part of something that's bigger than you. Mm. And obviously, there's a lot of politics at play, right? The average soldier, boots on the ground, is not making those political decisions. And at some level, you know, you are just a pawn in the hands of the politicians. But there's still a lot of us in that, you know, prior military or even in the military, that believe in those great values of freedom, and that those freedoms are worth protecting, right?
That's right.
That if we don't protect those freedoms, they get taken away from us. I mean, you consider even our current situation. Some would say that, you know, various governments in Michigan or other places are imposing on our rights, right, and restricting our freedoms unnecessarily. And I don't want to get political, but all I'm saying is, as a soldier, we don't get wrapped up in those things. Obviously, you hope you're fighting for a just cause, but you're either going to fight for freedom to protect it on your own soil, or you have to go and protect it on, you know, someone else's soil. But
right. And now, and you were a reservist first, right? I mean, it's not like you entered, you know, joined the Army.
Well, I served up as a reservist because I was a full-time student.
Oh, okay.
And otherwise, but my goal with joining was to transition into active Army, regular Army. They were sometimes referred to it. But it ended up, because of being in just 2.5 years between training and deployment, I actually ended up on active duty a lot longer than I spent as a reservist.
Hmm.
So it's one of those mixed bags kind of things.
I have a question. Memorial
Yes,
Day to many people is a day off. How do you celebrate Memorial Day?
For me, it's, you know, I don't make a whole big deal out of it so much as, you know, I make sure I reach out to my buddies that I served with, you know, making sure I'm checking on them. I definitely, for me, it's not about the sales, you know, the great deals that you can get, or, you know, yeah, I like to do the so-called barbecue thing, you know, where you, you know, take some time with the family. But really, it's just more of a personal thing for me, where I'm just remembering, you know, that service, remembering that time where the Lord preserved my life and the life of so many soldiers around me. But also, every year, you know, I'm thinking about those that I knew were lost. Even though we only lost one soldier in our particular battalion, there were many times my chaplain and I were called to respond to mass casualties in the other units, because we weren't the only, you know, battalion or large unit on our base. And so when they had mass casualties, even though they had their own chaplain team, we would get called to help with those mass casualty situations where there were truck bombs in the marketplace, you know, those types of things. So you end up getting exposed to those civilian and, you know, military casualties, even though they weren't in our direct unit. And so, you know, you think about that stuff, it stays with you.
So tell us about the one casualty that was in your battalion. Was it, you know, you said there was circumstance. I don't know if it was you were, you know, over there in Iraq or what happened.
The situation was, he was a sergeant first class, which is an E-7. He was a platoon sergeant for one of the companies underneath our battalion. And one of the things my chaplain and I would do is, before the units would go out on the convoys, we would have offer to have devotional and prayer with the units and the soldiers that wanted that. So we would go around. The convoy patrols were always at night. So that's, you know, we'd make our way around. This particular sergeant never participated in the devotionals, didn't stay around for the prayer, was always friendly, you know, good guy, really squared away, good soldier. But he came to me one time, shortly before it was our time to go back. And he told me, he said, "Bentley, I need to talk to you. Would you have some time for me?" And of course, you know, I told him, "Yeah, I'd be glad to make time for you. No problem." Well, in the busyness of getting ready to come home, I didn't get back with him. And as I came back home in June of 07, their particular unit, they were a Kansas National Guard unit. They volunteered to stay an additional 90 days. There was a need. Their unit was, agreed to stay behind. Well, while they were on a convoy, logistic patrol, his Humvee was hit by an IED, and Sergeant Bachman lost his life. Mm-hmm. And as I think back, obviously, I wish I had connected with him. He was not one who openly displayed religious leanings, and he did reach out for help. He asked to speak to someone, and I didn't make that happen. And he actually lost his life. He was killed in action the same day I was honorably discharged, which was August 1st of 07. And so that has been a heavy motivation for me in ministry, to not let people fall through the cracks. Because I'm not sure what he wanted to talk about, but obviously he was an E7 seeking out an E4. I was not under his platoon sergeant command. So I know he wanted to talk to me about something either spiritual or relational in his life, and I let him down. And while I don't wallow in guilt over that, it does serve as a stark reminder, when people ask for help, you don't know how much time you have with them.
That's right.
You don't know how many more opportunities you may have to minister to them. And so it has been a powerful motivator for me in pastoral ministry. But Sergeant First Class Travis Bachman will always be in my mind.
Well, amen. And I was going to say, my favorite verse is Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good. So that was a terrible thing, but God has used it to help you in your ministry, hasn't he?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question about it.
Well, our time is running out, Daryl. Is there anything else you'd like to leave with us?
No, the only thing I would say is I often get questions from different people about whether or not Christians in the military in general, of course. And I would just like to put it out there that, that's something deeply personal that people need to weigh through themselves. They need to pray their way through it. And I would just say that if there is somebody out there who is needing some guidance, about these types of questions, I'm happy to make myself available. By phone or email, if they needed some spiritual guidance as it relates to the military. Obviously, my background is more for the Adventist community, but I'm willing to help anybody.
What is your email?
It's very easy. It's just pastorbentley@gmail.com, and Bentley is L-E-Y, so pastorbentley@gmail.com, and happy to be a blessing to someone if I can.
Okay, so listeners, if you'd like to talk to Pastor Bentley, especially, well, maybe about anything spiritual or relating to the military. So Pastor Bentley, B as in boy, ENTLEY@gmail.com.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, well, thank you so much. We appreciate this. And may God continue to use you and bless you in your ministry. Stay tuned.
Delaine, Tom, thank you guys so much, too, for the opportunity to be with you guys. It's always a pleasure.
Well, stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back with more regarding Memorial Day. Do you want an easy way to support Strong Tower Radio and it won't cost you anything? If you shop Amazon, you can set up your account to have them donate to us. Just go to smile.amazon.com and pick Strong Tower Radio as your charitable organization, and they will donate 0.5% of the eligible purchase to us. That's smile.amazon.com. And you can do more to support Strong Tower Radio by going to strongtowerradio.org and hit the donate button and become a monthly covenant partner. Remember, every little bit helps. We should do all in our power to spread the three angels' messages of Revelation 14, 6 through 12. Hi, Hi, folks. Welcome back to Strong Tower Radio. I'm your host, Jelaine Fenner, with my co-host,
Tom Majeure.
And Tom, we are honoring Memorial Day. We've already been discussing what it's about, and we just had Pastor Daryl Bentley.
Great interview.
That's right. And his perspective, he was in the service, I think, like 2005. But now we have another guest in our studio who's right here from Cadillac, Michigan, and Mike Kampner.
How do you do?
And it's good to have you, Mike. And you're going to have a totally different perspective because you were in the service during the Vietnam War. And so give us a little bit of background about that and you.
All right. Well, my personal experience is like a lot of the fellows that during my time.
And your time is?
Well, 1968, I graduated from high school. And while we were in high school, I remember the draft very vividly as people were being drafted after they'd gotten out of high school the year ahead of us. And, you know, we all had a draft number, and we all discussed the fact that we were on the list and knew that there was an opportunity that could come about that we would have to be serving for our country. So, you know, that was my first initiation, I guess, to the thought of being in the military and the consequences of being in the military.
Well, let's
Well, what service were you in?
I was in the Air Force. I served from March of 1971 through November of 1973, and then we got an early out because Vietnam ended, and so they gave us Christmas out.
So let's talk about the Vietnam War. I'm trying to reconstruct it. I was watching it on TV at a safe distance. But what was the ebb and flow of the Vietnam War, which you served as a part of that? What was the start, the kind of the flow? What was the peak and the wind down?
Well, understanding that the Vietnam War started at an age, you know, I was probably 13, 14 years old. And, of course, at that time, we weren't thinking much about what was going on in Vietnam. It wasn't very publicized at that time. As I got older in high school, and then the draft became part of it, and then some of the people that we knew from the prior year who had graduated were killed in Vietnam.
That gets really personal.
Then again,
you knew them.
A lot more personal. Yes, absolutely. Knew two of them personally, and like I say, they were out of high school, and the next year they were killed in Vietnam. So, you know, that made it real. I think one of the things that we always have to take into perspective, no matter what branch of the service you were in, we all had a different perspective on what was happening. There were fellows that stayed there, men and women who stayed their entire enlistment or draft period in the United States. And so their experience in the Vietnam conflict was totally different from somebody like my brother, who had served 13 months in Vietnam, 6 months in Laos, and 7 months in Cambodia. His perspective, loading bombs and rockets on aircraft, riding in helicopters, shooting a 50-caliber air-cooled machine gun, was much different than his brother's, who was in Wiesbaden, Germany, in a medical facility, in medical supply, at the same exact time, and President Nixon was telling us we didn't have troops in Laos and Cambodia, and yet I knew my brother was there and at the time. And small forces, small bases, you know, because we really weren't publicly there. And so, you know, these are some of the things that I experienced.
You know, you talk about differences of experience. I just wanted to drill down through that. So the people are stateside, or you in West Germany, after you get off of duty, you could go to the PX, and or you could go into town, and you, if you had leave, and you could shop.
Well, in fact,
a whole different world.
Yeah, I was in Germany. I mean, we got off work, and it was just like you'd been to a job, 8 to 5. And you could visit a restaurant, and you could walk downtown, and whatever you really felt like doing. I mean, we weren't very restricted. We had certain times. We had curfew, of course. We had to be back, but, you know, short of that.
Then you have that contrast to your brother, and I just want to flesh that out. Is I remember watching the nightly news, and those guys lived, some of them lived on small bases. They had a berm of dirt and sandbags around them, and no air conditioning. And what was it like in Laos, probably, when he was there?
Yeah, he talked about it. He said it was a very beautiful place. He said it was absolutely beautiful. The flowers, he said, were unbelievable. But he said it was hot. Some days 120 degrees. Mm. He said the humidity was 100%. He said you could be standing drenched whether it was raining or not. And he said you never knew at any moment during any day whether or not you were going to be taking incoming fire, whether it was mortars or hand weapons or whatever. So they were always in a position of readiness.
So he may be off the clock, but he's, in a way, always on duty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when he came home, you couldn't go anywhere near him. He didn't sleep like anybody else did. You didn't walk up and touch him while he was in bed. He was always mentally, even when he got home, on guard and concerned for his own welfare.
So you said the difference of experience, and you fleshed that out very, very well.
Well, thank you. It was different for all of us, let's just
right.
say that.
Well, it's just like when you talk to people that were in World War II, some of them, for 50 years, didn't want to talk about it. You know, so it's the same thing. They had different experiences. And like what you just said, you know, being in the service, whether you're in the combat zone or you're supporting, doing stuff here in the United States, that's why there's difference. And so, you know, we're talking about Memorial Day, but that's why we wanted to ask you a little bit about your background, because you are a veteran. And, you know, we've talked about Memorial Day. It's about veterans, but we have Veterans Day in November, which there's a difference, because Memorial Day is about those that didn't come back, those men and women that passed away. And so we have this Memorial Day. And for a lot of people, at least, Tom was not in the service. I wasn't in the service. And, I mean, I grew up, we celebrated Memorial Day. That's how I grew up. But now, you knowing and understanding more, it's not celebration. It's not a celebration. It's honoring those that died and gave us the freedom we have in this United States.
Sure. And for a veteran, again, it depends on your experience and what you took away from the entire experience. Oftentimes, we don't even want to talk about it. I mean, my brother rarely talks about his service time in Vietnam and Laos and Cambodia, almost never. And when he does, it's spooky. And to see the look on his face and see him reliving those minutes, and it's not
you almost don't want to go there, huh?
Yeah.
As well as he not wanted to go there, you might not want to go there.
Yeah, I certainly didn't want to go there. And but, you know, it's sometimes something, you hear people talk about it, and it's a celebration, and we just, a lot of us just don't want to be around it. We just, sometimes I'll go to a parade and honor the guys that died, because just like Vietnam, 55,000 guys died, and that's men and women. And another 250,000 were maimed and injured. And you know, I have good friends that I still have from high school that were shot in Vietnam and blown up and all kinds of things that happened to them. And so, you know, oftentimes it's not a great memory. We do it out of respect for the people that we remember who served and put their life on the line, even though they may not have wanted to. They still did it because it was part of what the country asked them to do.
Right.
And that's very interesting. We, in our pre-preparation for this, you talked about the response that you got being a Vietnam veteran when you came home, or the vets got when they came home, the difference between World War II and the World War and the conflict in Southeast Asia, which eventually was called a war, or maybe never was called a war.
It's still called a conflict, I think.
But when you came home and many others, how was that different? And for those who didn't observe it by the television or was
sure
part of the family.
Well, my father had served in the Navy at the end of World War II, and he also served during the Korean conflict. And when they came home, especially from World War II, though they probably didn't feel like heroes, they were treated like heroes.
Yes, that's right.
And when we got home, we had television where I was at. I mean, we were in Germany, and we were seeing the protests, and I never felt bad that somebody was protesting the fact that they didn't like that we were in Vietnam. But when we got home, we were treated as if we were part of the cause, when reality says we in high school got draft numbers, and when we got out, a lot of people got drafted right away. This wasn't something we said, let me go. It was more, you're going. And so you get home, and it was kind of disappointing to see the people and the way they treated you, because you went because you had to go.
Right. This was not a voluntary army at the time.
Certainly there were volunteers.
Right. But majority of the people were drafted.
That's right. That's right. A lot of them were drafted. So.
And so when it comes to Memorial Day for you, it's not like a happy, pleasant.
Oh, absolutely not. I have memories of walking down to general quarters and looking at the list on a weekly basis to see if I knew anybody on the list that was either killed in action or missing in action. And that's not a good memory. I mean, standing there, and it wasn't like there was a crowd. We were all circling around to see who we knew. One at a time, during the course of a day or a week, you'd go in and check the list just to see if it was somebody you were in with or somebody you knew from childhood.
Let's talk about Memorial Day. You have a different experience. You don't necessarily warmly embrace it, but what would be a Memorial Day that was memorable to you that you could recall, that something was pertinent?
Well, I guess I always appreciated TAPS. I appreciated the fact that other vets took their time and came out dressed in uniform and honored the people who didn't come home. And TAPS and the shooting of the 21-gun salute, that's always been special.
So I don't know if it's everywhere when they have Memorial Day parades that they always have some kind of a service to do that. I know here in Cadillac, Michigan, after the parade, they go down and they do that 21 salute and everything. So do you then try to go to those services?
Not often.
Okay.
I will once in a great while. It's a different experience for everybody.
Yeah. Now, you've continue to serve veterans. Tell us a little bit about how you serve veterans.
Well, it's this is one of those that's a little easier for me to talk about because this is, I think, sent by God.
Okay.
I believe that I, at some point, had a moment where I said, there are fellows out, men and women out there, who, for whatever reason, aren't doing well. And I'm part of the AMVETS here in town, which is a veterans organization. And I started just, they said something about coats and hats and boots and things of that nature. And I said, well, let me see what I can do. You know, I might be able to help. And, well, the next thing you know, we've got, and this isn't me. This is a whole bunch of people who generously get into their own closets and start pulling out coats, hats, and boots and gloves and scarves and, and the next thing you know, well, we've got people that need food. Well, I have limited resources. I'm certainly not wealthy, but I think I know organizations where I can get food. And so right now, for instance, I have a list of names who are veterans and some who don't have transportation, can't get to and from, really don't want to go down and get the food themselves. And so I go down and collect the food, and we take it to different areas and distribute it. Some we deliver to people's homes, and it's quite a nice experience. It's been more of a conviction. I don't think any of these fellows expect anybody to do anything. In fact, most, when you take them food, feel like they're taking a handout, and that's the last thing in the world they want. But, you know, I'm kind of a stubborn little guy. I just put it on their porch and say, well, I'm not taking it with me. So you either let it sit here and rot, or you take it in and use it, and away I go. And that's kind of the way I am. Anybody that knows me knows I don't. That's pretty much my personality. So,
can you tell us a story of a moving story of when you've helped a vet?
Well, my wife was at, let's lead into this then. My wife was at the Meijer store turning in bottles and cans, okay?
Yeah.
She's standing there. There's a gentleman standing there, and he's got some, and he's stuffing them into the machine, and he had ended up with like five of them that the machine wouldn't accept. And he asked my wife, would you exchange these for some that I can use so I can have enough money to go into Meijer's and get some food? And she said, well, absolutely. Well, she had, this is, the bottles and cans were from work, and she said, I've got a lot of them. She said, he said, can I help you put them in the machine? And she said, well, sure. And so as they're going, she says, well, here, why don't you take this bag? Well, it ends up, she ends up giving him a couple of bags of cans, which probably, who knows what it amounted to, but he was able to get some food. Well, during the conversation, she got his name, and he gave a little bit of history about himself and where he might be found.
Mm-hmm. Might be found?
Yeah.
You're not talking about a house, are you?
Yes. It basically gave us a kind of an indication of what something, and I don't want to give too much because I don't want this man to be embarrassed by the fact that...
Well, we're not going to give his name.
Good. I'm not either. So, in any event, he gave me a, they gave her a clue. I took that clue, went and found his house and took a box of food to him. And to see the reaction of the man and how gracious he was and thankful, and he said some very kind things about my wife, and who is special, and if anybody knows my Kathleen, they know what I'm talking about. And so that was a good one. That one, you know, you leave with a warm feeling.
Well, you know, there are people around us, and sometimes you just got to be listening.
Yeah, and fortunately she was, and between the two of us, we were able to put it together, and it's been working out nicely. So
now, was this, you were already kind of involved with the veterans, or was this helping you to get started?
No, I had already been involved.
Okay.
This was something I'd been doing for the last 2 years. I've been getting clothes, and when I say I've been getting clothes, that's really a loose statement. It's I've been soliciting people and asking if they have extra coats, hats, boots, or gloves. Could you bring them in? I'll make a box available, and you can put them in there. Nobody has to know where they came from, you know, and I'll make sure they get distributed, and that's what we did.
We have listeners in the Cadillac area, and Mike, would you mind giving us some information so that maybe other people would like to help you out with this?
Well, sure. As far as collect, right now, it's not as big a need right now, though there are going to be some people. Some of our stuff ends up going to some of the shelters here in town. My wife is active in the women's shelter here in town, and she will take clothing for kids and women, and they're always used, and they have quite a good supply right now because the people have been very generous. So this isn't really the time. We look more toward the winter and fall, but if you want, you can get a hold of the AmVets. There are several people there. Rocky, everybody knows Rocky. Go talk to him. He'll make sure that you can have a place to bring clothes. And also at the Veterans Center on 41 Road, there are people there at least twice a week that would be happy to take donations in certain supplies.
So when you're talking about the veterans, the AmVets, this is anywhere, because we have listeners in the UP, in Illinois, they could contact their local agency, right?
Yeah, it's called Vet Serving Vets.
And I think that'd be a great thing to do for Memorial Day.
Yeah,
it would be.
It's Vet Serving Vets. It's a nationwide organization of veterans who try to help other veterans.
Right. And so, folks, just remember, it is Memorial Day weekend when you're hearing this, or maybe the day after, but Memorial Day is about honoring those that serve, not just us celebrating with parades and getting together with family, but without what's happened, we wouldn't have the freedom we have in this country. So we are so appreciative of our veterans that have served and their families, because those that pass away, I mean, they passed away, but the ones that are left are also affected. So thank you, listeners. And just, if you see a vet, thank a vet for what they've done, no matter what branch of service they were in or where they served, whether it was during war or even peacetime. We are so thankful.
So vets, thank you for your service.
Yep. Thank you, Mike, for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Bye, folks.
Bye now.